Good morning. We're going to get started in just a minute, but we're going to do something a little different today. I got a couple of pieces of paper up here. There's a little couple of pieces of paper here. This one here says, write down your favorite life verse. So what I'm going to encourage you to do, even as we're starting worship, if you wouldn't mind, just get up and jot down life verse. And then right next to Abby, on the other side of that post, it says, what is the Bible meant to me? So I would love for you just to take a minute and walk over to one of those. There's some pens there in the windowsill, and there's some pens right there on the table. Just even while we're worshiping, as we're singing, get up and go write down either your life verse or favorite verse, or on this pillar, write down what the Bible has meant to you. All right, are you guys ready?
I think so.
Oh, yeah, she's not on.
Test 1, 2. Can you guys hear me? Yeah? All right.
Okay.
Then I'm going to invite you to please stand, which will also help in walking to where there's markers. But anyway, if you're so inclined, thanks, Pastor John. We are in a series about what we believe, and we're just excited to proclaim what we believe through song. Would you guys help us do that this morning? Awesome. Let's worship together. Here we go.
Come all you weary, come all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come all you sinners, come find his mercy. Come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever.
Bring all your failures.
Bring all your failures. Bring your addictions. Come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. His open arms. So God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated. Now it is well. I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved, God so loved the world. Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. From whom all blessings flow. Praise Him. Praise Him for the wonders of His love. Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God.
From whom all blessings flow. Praise Him. Praise Him for the wonders of His love. His amazing love.
For God. One and only Son to save. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated. Now it is well, I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved, God so loved the world.
Praise God.
Hey, that'll get you moving in the morning. Go ahead and have a seat. Welcome to Discovery Church. We're so glad to see you this morning. My name is Star, and I'm really happy just to be here as your host this morning. If you got a worship folder, this is the time to check it out. So I invite you, I feel a little bit like a stewardess suddenly, like get out your little information and follow along. But do it, because we have a lot of really cool things happening even just this week. There's some great events I want to point your attention to. There's also a couple other things in your worship folder, the first of which is the connection card. I want to invite you guys to pull this out. We love to get your information, just know that you are here. We also, if you have any prayer requests, we'd love to partner with you and pray for you. We don't do anything with this information besides just connect you with an event that you might have a question about or a prayer request you have. That's really what we just want to come alongside you and help you out. If you are worshiping with us live stream today, I want to welcome you guys to the live stream. You can also, you have a digital connection card you can fill out. There's a QR code for any of you, actually, that you can use as well. And also, some of the events that I'm going to bring up, if you have more questions, put it on your connection card. And you live streamers, you can even just put it in the comments, and we'll make sure to get back to you with any information or if you want to volunteer for one of the events that we're going to be covering. So I hope that the live stream has a good morning as well, connecting with us. Okay, the first exciting thing I want to tell you guys about is we have a family movie night coming up, and there's these fancy little flyers. Yeah, it's I'm excited. It's going to be really fun. Okay, so it's going to be inside Bethlehem Church. I actually had to kind of look for that because, you know, sometimes we hear summer movie night and we think outdoors. But we're going to pretend like it's outdoors. We're going to dress up in your camping gear. I'm serious. It doesn't say this in your worship folder, so don't think I'm tricking you, but you really can dress up either in camping gear or those, like, comfy animal onesie pajamas. Joe, you know what I'm talking about.
Joe does know.
Yeah, he's got Eeyore. That counts.
I've got, like, four if you need a
ball. Maybe Pokemon. Do you have that, too? Anyway, yeah. Pandas. Okay, so Joe can hook you up. You heard it here. But yeah, come, let's make a night of it. It's going to be really fun. The movie is Wild Robot, and which is a great book and a great movie. So bring your kids. There's going to be snacks and drinks provided, but you are also welcome to bring like a picnic dinner along with you or extra snacks. You can also bring comfy things to sit on. The pews and the seating will be there, but if you want to, like, if your kids want to get up close, they can bring pillows and blankets and things like that. So that should be a lot of fun. Last week, we had a really fun time at Disco Fest. Can you clap if you were there? Yeah, it was great. We had over 100 people that turned up for Disco Fest. We also had two people celebrate their faith through baptism in Steel Lake, which is kind of cool. Yep. And speaking of Disco Fest, okay, we do this every year. But next year, I'm already telling you guys about next year because it's a big deal. Next year is Discovery's 25th anniversary. Yeah, it's a big one. It's huge. Now, technically, I think our anniversary is in April. Tracy, you'd remember because I think you had major life events.
I had a baby the next day.
The next day.
So my youngest is the same age as Discovery.
Yeah, okay.
So that's cool.
No big deal. You just birthed a church and a human all in 1 week.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Just a regular Wednesday.
Sunday. Yeah.
Sunday, Monday, sorry.
So we're going to be, of course, marking that next April and celebrating that, but we're actually going to spend those months between April and then when the weather's great around Disco Fest to really have a party, and we're going to have some things, some testimonials, some videos, just really kind of resharing the story of Discovery and different people's perspectives, and we're going to invite, there's going to be different ways that you can engage in that as well. But I already am announcing it today because I want you to mark your calendars for the end of July, early August. I know that's vague, but it's the parks. We can't book a park quite yet. But it's going to be a big deal. You don't want to miss out. And it's going to be a great reunion for all of those people that are at Discovery now and those who have helped build Discovery the last 25 years. It's going to be a really beautiful time. So put that in pencil somewhere at the end of July, early August on your next calendar or in your phone, and we're excited to celebrate that with you. Okay, we also have baptisms again. So if you missed out on Disco Fest and you're like, baptisms, what? We have one coming up August 24th, and I think it's going to be right here. We're already ready. So mark your calendars for that. If you're interested, write that on your connection card. We'd love to connect with you about that. Here's what to expect for today. We are going to worship some more, We're going to get to hear from Pastor John as we continue the series, Believe. And then we'll have some time for prayer and reflection and giving back to God. And of course, any of those times, again, write down those things that Pastor John mentioned. There's a sheet over here on your favorite verses. I think there's a sheet over on a pillar over there about what the Bible means to you. And if you weren't here at the beginning of the service, he invited everyone just to get up at any point during the service and write those things down. We'd love to populate those lists. So in the meantime, let's worship.
Yeah, let's worship. Would you guys stand and worship with us? Thanks so much for being here this morning for our What We Believe Matters series. Sing with me.
Who am I that the highest King should welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the Son sets free. Oh, he's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes, I am.
Sun sets free. Let's sing that again.
Who the Sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me.
Tell a quick story about being in the family of God. I was driving down 6th Avenue. My granddaughter is in the back seat. And I'm like, that's Bobby Humes crossing the street real fast in front of me going to his car. Rolled down the window. Brother Bobby. He's like, Tracy. Kept driving. And my granddaughter said, you have a brother Bobby? I thought it was Uncle Dan, Uncle Bar. She starts naming it. I'm like, yeah, I do, because we're both in the family of God. He's my brother Bobby. Isn't that cool? We're in the house of God today. What a blessing. We're going to talk about what we believe and how it makes such a difference. Paul says in a letter to the Galatians, I hope that's right. I think it is. He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And he follows it with this. He says, and that grace given to me was not without effect. By God's grace, who you are is redeemed. Who you are is forgiven. Who you are is a part of God's family. And you're called. That's who you are. Father, I pray today for all of us in this house, your house, that your grace to us would not be without effect. Help us by your Spirit, what a gift, to walk what we believe. Thank you that you've redeemed us. Thank you you've called us. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, let's continue to worship.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes and wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Jesus.
Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes.
that your word means that we have an anchor. Your word reminds us that you are a living God who has made a way for us to know him. God, remind us today of your great love and power in our life. Speak to us through your word something fresh. God, I pray our hearts would be ready to hear. We long to meet with you this morning. We long to meet with you this morning, Jesus. May your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I encourage you to be seated. We're going to continue worship. We're not going to sing. We're going to be in God's word. But it's still worship, okay? And so some things that you can do is right now, you're going to want a pen. And you want some, take some notes. And I would encourage you, if there's some things that even while we were singing, that like you felt like God was doing some stuff. That's kind of a little best way to say it. You felt like God was doing some stuff. Maybe start writing some of those things down, like, God's reminding me that I'm valuable to him. It doesn't matter what I've done or where I've been or where we've been. He's still working and alive. Maybe you should write those things down. I mean, we believe very much. We've had people praying for you this morning. We gather in this space and we prayed. We prayed for you to have an encounter with Jesus himself this morning. We prayed that somehow how do you like our summer digs, by the way? Kind of interesting. A lot of people, yeah, not bad. Maybe that's the best response. So that we've been in here in the summer in this cafeteria, and one of the things that I believe happens when we pray is that God takes a high school cafeteria and he turns it into a sanctuary. And a sanctuary is a safe place, okay? It's a safe place for a broken person to have an encounter with the living God. And if you're like me, you've got some deep broken places. And if you're like me, you stand here and you breathe here today amazed that even someone so broken, God could shower such mercy and grace on. And maybe if you've not been feeling that lately, my hope is this morning that you will have an encounter with God's mercy and grace. You'd be like, you know what? He's not done with this old broken bone, okay? These old broken bones, and he's not. So we're going to be walking through Scripture this morning. We're in this series called Believe. It doesn't read that way. Okay, it says believe, and sort of my play on this idea of believe, and we're talking over the summer about core beliefs that Jesus people have held to for many, many years. We might call these the essential. Some people might call them like doctrines. We're not going to use that word very much, but that's what we're talking about. We're talking about what are the core fundamental things that Jesus people have held to for many, many, many years. And not only what those things are, why they matter, how we live them out. So that's the play on words, believe. Not only what do we, as Jesus people, hold on to, but how do we live them out and how does it matter? So we're also doing, as we're walking through this, is a survey of the book of Romans. So if you haven't been reading Scripture and you want to jump in and do something for the next 6 weeks of summer, is it six? Is that fair? 4 weeks? Some of you are like, no, it's August, John. It's over. It's not over yet, friends. Summer's not over yet. Hold on to it. So anyway, but if you've not been reading Scripture, you want to jump in with us, you can start in the book of Romans. We're walking through this wonderful book. Again, it's sort of a survey of the book of Romans. Now, 4 weeks ago we started talking about why believing matters. So that's what we did in week one. Week two, we talked about, and Bobby has actually led us through this conversation, who is God and what does it mean to believe in God? And then in the third week, we talked about who is Jesus. And then last week, we talked about the third person of the Trinity. The third person of the Godhead, we talked about the person of the Holy Spirit. And so last week, we talked about that the New Testament teaches us that upon faith in Jesus, when a man or woman says yes to Jesus, at that very moment, God gives you an amazing gift. And we talked last week about, hey, if you're not real comfortable in Christian circles, this might seem a little weird. We talked about the Holy Spirit, okay? And we talked about the Holy Spirit last week, and we talked about that if you've put your faith in Jesus, you receive an incredible gift, and that is the indwelling of the third person of the Godhead, third person of the Trinity, God's Holy Spirit. He comes and lives actually inside you. And we talked about one of the fundamental reasons the Holy Spirit does this, and this is so that you and I will see our faith move from the theoretical to the practical. You guys with me? Everybody say theoretical, practical. Okay, so the one of the reasons why God has sent his Holy Spirit into your life, into mine as a person of faith, is to move your faith from this head thing or this heart thing or this emotion to something that you live and breathe each and every day. Now, I'm not going to reteach last week's sermon, okay? But I want to bring us back just for a moment to a verse we hit, and we went kind of over it so quickly, you might have missed some of its significance. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says this: "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So the book of Romans says that God right now is wanting you to have heaven's perspective rather than the earth's perspective. Anybody want that in your marriage? Yeah, anybody want that in your parenting? Yeah, anybody want that at work tomorrow? Yeah, a bunch of you are like, yes, I'm going to need it tomorrow, okay? So right now, it's God's heartbeat for you to see the world, to see yourself, to see God, to see your circumstances from heaven's perspective. And so right now, God's Holy Spirit is helping you have heaven's, we'll call them like heaven's goggles on, and so that you can see from God's perspective. And this requires transformation. Now, last week, we used this verse to say one of the things the Holy Spirit does is transforms us. And I just mentioned it so quickly. He transforms us using a tool. And I mentioned it last week, but without saying the tool, I want to take you to another verse in this book of Romans. And so if you have your Bible open, you can flip over to Romans chapter 15. Most of the scriptures are going to appear up here on the screen. But in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, we are introduced to this tool that the Holy Spirit uses in our lives. Let me read it to you. Paul writes in Romans 15, he says, "Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." Let me read it again. Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. God has given you and I 39 Old Testament books written over 1,100 years, and 27 New Testament books written over 100 years. They've been collected into one giant folder called, anybody? The Bible. God has given us his scriptures. God has given us his word. It is a gift in our lives. And for many, many, many years, Jesus people, men and women of faith, have had a deep connection and a dependence on God's holy word. Jesus people have recognized that God's word, scripture, has some very unique characteristics. I'm going to run through some characteristics. If you're taking notes, I'm going to go somewhat quickly, but I'm going to share with you some of the reasons why Jesus people have treated and held on to and cherished God's word, scripture, so carefully over these last 2,000 years. First, people of faith understand that God's word is living. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "The word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Jesus people have understood that scripture is unlike any other book. It's not a dusty old textbook. It's not merely a book of poetry. It's not merely a book of history or philosophy or religion. It is living. There's something powerful that takes place when we read God's word. People of faith have understood that not only God's word is living, but God's word is eternal. In John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the, is that up there? In the beginning was the, everybody? Was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was. Oh, it shifts here a little bit in verse 2. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. This in John is actually introducing us to who? Jesus. For the Word became flesh, it says in John 1. But the Word is eternal. Third thing about God's word that Jesus people have held on to for many, many years is that God's word reveals Jesus, the Son of God. In John chapter 5, Jesus said, you study the scriptures, you study them diligently because you think that in them you will have eternal life. But these are the very scriptures that testify about me. Men and women of faith have believed from beginning to end God's word is revealing Jesus Christ. Men and women of faith have believed one of the unique characteristics about God's word is that God's word frees us. It's not just eternal. It's not just living. It's not just that it reveals Jesus. It actually does something inside of a man or woman when they ingest God's word. Jesus says in John 8, you will know the truth. You guys know this one? And the truth will set you free. David writes in the Psalms, the law of the Lord is perfect. It's refreshing to the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy. They make wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right. They give joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant. They give light to the eyes. David says, God's word brings me comfort and strength and wisdom. It brings me freedom. Men and women of faith have understood that not only is God's word living and eternal and revealing Jesus and frees us, men and women of faith have understood that God's word actually builds faith. The gospel writer John, as he's closing the gospel of John, he says these words. In verse 31 of chapter 20, he says, these were written to you that you may believe. Believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. Reading God's word, ingesting God's word builds faith. Men and women of faith for 2,000 years have believed that God's word also builds purpose in our lives. Jesus said in John 15, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is Jesus' passage on bearing fruit, of living a life that matters. He says, listen, if you're ingesting, holding on to, abiding in me and my word, you will live a life of purpose. Jesus, people, for 2,000 years have believed that God's word is without error. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Friends, we could be here all day about the unique qualities of God's word, but let me just share ultimately God's word is His breath. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. For many, many, many years, men and women of faith have believed that this is not a textbook, a book of history, philosophy, poetry, religion. Men and women of faith have believed that this is the exhale of God. Some of you might remember the opening pages of the Bible. And the book of Genesis tells us about the creation of the world. Genesis chapter 2, let me read this to you. Verse 7, it says, the Lord formed a man. What did he form him from? Can you see it up there? From the dust of the ground. And then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Genesis says that God knelt down into the muck of earth, the chaos of earth, and he with his hands formed a human being. But he wasn't a man. He formed his fingers. He formed his eyes, his ears. He formed organs in his body, but he wasn't a living man. Until God knelt down into the dirt and the muck and the mess and the chaos, until God breathed life into that mess, that's when the man came alive. And the same is true today. I'm not living because I'm making enough money to pay the bills. We call that making a... But it's a lie. I'm not living because I'm making enough to pay the bills. I'm not living because I'm sleeping in or staying up late. I'm not living because I'm driving a faster car or living in a bigger house. I'm not living because I'm getting more friends and losing more enemies. I'm not living because I'm getting more pats on the backs or accolades. None of that is living. It's just a chaotic mess. Life is found in an intimate relationship with God himself. I want you to remember that in the New Testament tells us, Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed and ultimately crucified, he was praying in a garden. In John 17, as he's praying, he says these words, "And Father, this is eternal life. This is life. That they may know you, the one true living God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent." I find that so amazing. Jesus is staring at chains. And he's staring at the chains, and he's staring at the execution. He's staring at the cross, and he says, "God, life isn't freedom. Life isn't about doing what you want. Life isn't about collecting more things. Life isn't even about another day of heartbeats. Life is knowing you, inhaling your exhale, being so close that I can know you. This is what life is." And friends, God has given us his word, so that you and I can live, that we can inhale the exhale of God. There are two moments in my life that have been so deeply transformative outside of the moment I surrendered to Jesus' rule in my life. One of them happened when I was 10 years old. I don't know, raise your hand if you grew up going to a church. Your mom and dad drug you to church, okay? So, like, probably the majority of us. So I grew up in a church not as comfortable as this. I grew up going to church. You guys, anybody remember pews? So, and by the way, when we went to church, like, you really earned it. Because we didn't just go to church for, like, an hour and 15 minutes. Like, this is church light today in 2025. Like, we did it. Anybody, raise your hand if when you did church, you did it. Anybody? Okay, so a few less of you. But, yeah, you know what I'm talking about, so... We get up, and we had to put clean clothes on. Anybody remember that, clean clothes? And my mom would lick things on my head and make them go a certain way. And we had to smell good, and we showed up early, and we went to a thing called Sunday school. And, boy, as a 10-year-old boy, that was just murder. So I had to sit through this little class, and then after you made it out of that, there was some sort of, like, fellowship thing, which made no sense to me. And then we went to worship, and, like, all the kids had to go and worship, and we sat on these wooden pews. Oh, man, they sang these songs out of books. You guys remember those? Hymnals, some of you remember, and we'd sing these songs, and I was like, I have no clue what's happening. And then the worst thing, we'd sit down, and that guy up front, where do those guys come from? I don't know. But he just kept talking and talking. And listen, friends, this was my experience at church growing up, is that we'd get in the car and there would be a list of punishments that would now happen because of my behavior at church. So, like, it was tough on a 10-year-old boy. Like, that's how it always ended. Not like, what did we learn today? It always ended like, do you want the back of my hand? What kind of, you know, that's what church was for me. Okay, at 10 years old, one Sunday, I don't know what happened, but in Sunday school class, we were talking about David. You know, you guys remember David? Like, he had swords. Okay, he had like a slingshot, a Goliath. You remember the Goliath guy? Okay, and I was like, whoa, that was cool. And so after we got done with the hymn things and we sat on those hard wooden pews, I leaned over to my mom and I said, Mom, where is it? She said, shh. I said, Mom, where do you find that story about David? She's like, shh. And she just fumbled through her Bible. She took her Bible and she placed it on my knees. And I started reading 1 Samuel. I read about a young lady who wanted to be a mom. And then a mom who had a little boy sent the boy to the temple. And a little boy who got to hear the voice of God. And a little boy, he became a man and a leader. And they called him a prophet. And while I was still in the middle of it, all of a sudden they started singing that closer song, Just As I Am, every Sunday. And I was like, whoa, that went by so fast. And a miracle took place. I got in the back seat of the 1976 Chevy, what was that called? I think it was just called a boat. A Chevy boat. And I wasn't in trouble. I didn't have to go home and have any sort of punishment. It was amazing. Miracle. Like, hallelujah. Like, we didn't say hallelujah a lot in that church, but it was like, hallelujah, friends. So, you know, the next Sunday, after the whole Sunday morning rigmarole, and we sit down the hard wooden pews, I didn't lean over and ask my mom. I just reached over and I grabbed her Bible and I put it on my lap and I found 1 Samuel. And I picked up. Samuel finds a young man who's looking for a donkey. And that young man becomes the first king of Israel. His name is Saul. Things go sideways. And then we're introduced to a young man that's a shepherd boy and has a slingshot. I learned it wasn't one of these. It was one of these. And he took down a Goliath. And right when they get to the part where he's cutting the head off, they sing that Just As I Am song. And I get back into the car. It was Caprice Classic. That's what it was. Chevrolet Caprice Classic. And we start driving home. And miracle of all miracles, I didn't get in trouble again. And I started doing that every Sunday for about 3 or 4 weeks. And then an interesting thing took place is, like, I was irritated that that stupid song at the end of the service was interrupting. True story. And so when I got home, I started reading the Bible in my bedroom. And at 10 years old, I started reading the Bible every day. And I haven't stopped. It changed my life. I was inhaling the exhale of God. And even during my tumultuous, you know, trying to figure out faith years and those teenage years, I was inhaling the exhale of God, and it was transforming me and changing me. I began this incredibly wonderful journey. I also would say that I began a journey that was also with a lot of struggle. And when we talk about scripture and in the church and Bible studies and in Sunday mornings, sometimes we talk about the struggle. And I'll hear people say, you know, well, it's actually really hard, John, because of this and that. And And I can say it is, because I've had the same struggles. I've had the same struggles of, you know, struggling to pronounce things or understand things, or do they make sense, or simply falling asleep. Don't raise your hand. I fall asleep, or that I forget, or I get so busy. But over the years, as I've walked through these struggles, I've learned some principles that I want to share today that will change your life. Whether you're 10 or whether you're like 110, if you want to inhale the exhale of God and you want to watch God do something different, I'm going to share with you four essentials to breathing in God's exhale. And I just have a few minutes, so I'm just going to walk them really quickly. And they're all H's, okay? So if you want to inhale the exhale of God, number one, it requires a hunger, okay? Solomon writes in Proverbs chapter 2, he says, "My son, if you accept my words and you store up my commands within you, and you turn your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and if you cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it just like you look for cash, and you search for it, just like you search for wealth and success, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." This is in the opening of Solomon's Book of Wisdom. He's saying, listen, the first step in this journey is you have to have a hunger. And one of the reasons why most of us struggle to engage with Scripture and engage with inhaling God's exhale, in all honesty, is we are just not hungry. Our hands, our mouths, our bellies are filled with things that just don't satisfy. And until those things change, until we are legitimately hungry, this will always be a distant book to us. It's like last night. Tracy walks into the house, and she comes in the kitchen to get her keys. She's going to go to Fred Meyer. She says, "Hey, I'm going to Fred Meyer. I'm going to get stuff for dinner." As she comes around the corner, I got both elbows on the counter, and I got the biggest piece of watermelon. And I'm just chowing down on a watermelon. And she put her hand on the hip and she said, "Well, maybe I shouldn't just make dinner, because when I get home, you're not going to be hungry," right? You guys, you tracking? Can you see her do that? You can see it. It's a trick question. Okay, but it really did happen. So, and what she's saying, though, is like, listen, if you're going to fill yourself with all, watermelon's not crap. It's good. If you're going to fill yourself with all sorts of other things, you're not going to be hungry for the real food. And listen, friends, it's 2025. When we sit and just do this all day long, and we can, scroll, 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 entertain, 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 busy, 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 busy. The truth is you're too full of crap. Until you get to the point in your life that you say, "I am really done. I am seeing the brokenness in my marriage, my home, my family, my life. I know what all the celebrities are wearing. I know the batting average of my top guys. I'm killing it in fantasy. But my soul is shriveling up." Until you get to the point that you're hungry, God's word will remain distant to you. Listen to this in the book of Jeremiah. "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with," what's the words up there, friends? What's the word? All. "When you seek me with all your heart." Number one, you have to be hungry. And if you're not hungry, I'm just going to say like it is, it's just going to be empty to you. Number two, outside of hunger, it requires humility. In John chapter 6, Simon Peter answered Jesus, said, "Lord, to whom should we go? You have the words of eternal life." A few minutes ago, when I was walking through some of the characteristics that people believe about God's word, I said something and went and kind of blasted right through it. I said these words, that the Bible is without mixture of error. And I said it, and that some of you are probably like, some of you are like, I don't know what he's talking about. So you wrote it down. That is a faith decision that is required for you to inhale the exhale of God. There has to be a moment in your faith journey where you say this. I believe that there is an objective truth and reality that lies outside of my perspective. And I'm willing to surrender to an objective truth, objective reality that's outside of my bubble. I will surrender to it. And when you do that, you're acknowledging that sometimes you're going to come right up against something that you don't understand. Because if you don't understand it, it means that it's bigger than you. Are we tracking? It means that it's outside of you, and means you don't understand it, and you might not even agree with it. It's going to be difficult and hard, but you need it. And that, friends, ultimately requires a faith decision to say, I'm going to surrender myself to this notion and knowledge that God may be breathing, he may be exhaling something that I don't understand yet. But in 2025, that's pretty hard, because we actually demand that God already lines up with what we think. And who are we making God? Us. Our perspective. Our journey. Our vision. At some point in your journey, you will have to say, I'm going to submit myself to an objective truth, objective reality that lies outside of my perspective. That's what Peter did. You have the words of life. Where else would we possibly go? I don't have it, and I absolutely need it. Here's the, I told you there are two things that transformed my life. One was at 10, and you know, that was probably more my mama putting it on my lap. But one happened when I was in my early 20s, in the first few years of my faith journey. And though I had been reading Scripture, it seemed more and more distant and confusing to me until I made a faith decision. And it was all around that verse we read earlier from 2 Timothy chapter 3. It messed with me. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, all Scripture, think about that for a minute. Those parts where they list the begats. Abraham, Isaac. That's God's breath. Laws that I don't understand. Perspectives that I don't understand. God, are you telling me that that's your breath? And I came to a wall and I had to make a faith decision, and I did. I said, I'm going to trust that everything I'm reading is the breath of God. And what I did in my early 20s is I took out a notebook, and at the top of my page, I wrote it every day. I wrote 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 out. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, correction, for training in righteousness, that the servant of God would be adequate, equipped for every good work. And then I said, God, if this is true, I'm leaning into you today. Will you speak to me? And then I would read from the Psalms. I'd read from the Proverbs. And at the end of that time, I'd say, God, thank you for breathing in to my life. You have to make a faith decision to say, God is going to speak to this old man, this old heart, this old life. You have to have a moment of humility. Amen? Okay, so I don't want to belabor those points, but number one, I have to have hunger. Number two, I have to have humility. The third essential is habit. Joshua 1, it says, keep this book always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. I think inhaling God's exhale is a lot like learning a new language. Anybody try to learn a language? Everybody in my house has learned a language. Every kid has gone through multiple years in school. And one of the things I found so interesting, as I find it interesting, is my kids will sit in a classroom and learn Spanish for 4 years. They'll get A's. They'll nail it. However, when we would go into an environment where people speak Spanish as their heart language, I'd say, hey, why don't you practice and talk? And they'd be like, no, I couldn't do that. I might make a mistake. I might say sugar and say something else. And because of the fear, they get all bottled up and they don't practice it. And what happens if you don't practice the language? Nicole, what happens if you don't practice the language verbally? You lose it. It's gone. And you might have 4 years of incredible learning, but no longer can you ask where the bathroom is, because you don't practice it. And inhaling and exhale of God requires learning a new language. And day in and day out, saying, I am going to breathe in God's exhale. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the one who doesn't walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf doesn't wither. And whatever they do prospers. Men and women of faith for 2,000 years have believed that this isn't important to keep your kids in line. It's not important so that we can figure out what kind of laws and rules we should make for society. Men and women of faith have believed that this is the very breath of God. That by inhaling the exhale of God, they draw close, he transforms, he changes them inside and out. And they live for the very first time. And that requires talking to the Father daily. And the last one, and not least, it requires the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2 says, this is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. Truth is that this inhale, it's not just an academic exercise. It's an engagement with God that requires you asking God's Holy Spirit to speak to you. So if you're hungry, if, as I talked about the Bible today, you're like, this seems out of touch, but you're hungry for God to do something in your life, consider opening to the book of Psalms. You got 4, 5, 6 weeks left in the summer. Consider opening to the book of Psalms and read one chapter of the Psalms every day and end with a prayer, Holy Spirit, would you speak to me? As I read, or throughout the day, will you bring this back to mind? Will you begin to change this hard soul, this cold heart, this broken man? Would you do that? Jesus made this promise. Matthew chapter 7, he says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. You have an incredible gift. God has given you an incredible gift. It is not information. It's himself. A lot of this was geared today to people who are already men and women of faith. You might have walked in this morning, and when it comes to faith, it's like, you're like, hey, I'm a long way off. Let me suggest to you that the starting point is inviting Jesus into your life. After a man or woman invites Jesus into their life, let me encourage you to just breathe. Inhale the exhale of God every day. Don't trade that away for this or for this. Don't trade it away. You are meant and designed for something so much bigger. Some of you are here today because you're trying to figure out how to piece your life back together. You got in a couple of blazing fights. Okay? I know this because this is what God does. Get in a big fight, and then they're like, hey, we got to get back to church. Or things are going sideways in your house, or things are going sideways in your career. And you're like, you know what? Let's go to a church. You're not going to be able to pick the pieces up. You need God to do something. And that really begins with Jesus, inviting Jesus into your life. Here's the beauty, friends, is that when you do that, he comes in. He's real. And he wants to breathe into your life every day. He wants to breathe purpose and mission and health, love, joy, and peace into your life. To do so, he's given the gift of his Spirit, and the Spirit uses his word. Let me encourage you to take a minute. Katie's going to play the piano just for a second. And while she's going to pray, I'm just going to give you a minute or two to talk to God. So whatever you need to talk to God about, I'm going to encourage you to do that right now. After a couple minutes, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Today. I know, Father, this morning there's just a lot of information out there, but at the heart of this is this amazing, miraculous truth that you pursue prodigals. Some of us in this room, we've been running away from you for a long time. Some things have come to a head this week. Some things have been coming to a head for a season now. And we found ourselves in this place. Feels raw and a little weird. But I'm praying right now for some men and some women here who are making their first steps back. That you would hear their simple prayers. Friends, right now, if you want to invite Jesus into your life, Romans 10 says it's very simple. Romans 10 says it this way. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Sitting here in a high school cafeteria on a Sunday morning, first Sunday in August, some hard blue chairs, and maybe some really hard circumstances in your life, you could simply pray this, Jesus, will you save me? And I want you to know that he hears that prayer. Father, some of us in the room, we've been Jesus followers. Man, it's just so easy to slip and slide. If we were being honest, some of us, we have a foot in two different worlds. And this morning as we're talking about mission and purpose, being found by inhaling your exhale, I hope that there's a man or a woman in here that says, I'm ready to be hungry. God, you would just continue to patiently draw them close to you to breathe in your exhale every day. We thank you, Father, for these moments. And we pray in Jesus' name that you will win this faith would move from theory to practice. I pray this. I pray, Father, right now that you'd be healing some marriages, that you'd be healing some homes. These homes would become outposts for kingdom initiatives and neighborhoods all over our city. I'm asking that you would do that right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you agree with me? Say amen. I hope you pray that prayer. God, would you bring some healing in this heart, this home? May this life, this house, may we become an outpost for kingdom initiatives. Wouldn't that be cool? And I'm dreaming that. I'm dreaming like all over this city, all over this county, there'd be like kingdom outposts on fire, men and women who are watching this, the breath of God being inhaled. And that's what I'm praying for. Hope you're doing that as well. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to start wrapping up our service. We are going to sing a song, and we're going to do a giving back to God. That means a lot of people call it the offering time. This is our giving back to God time. We're going to pass some baskets, and during this time, we are going to invite you to do a couple things. One, drop your connection card in. That's probably the thing we want the most. If you're a guest with us, don't put any dollars in there. If this becomes your church home, we hope that you live generously, but that's another step, okay? So so as those go by, we encourage you to do that. Star is going to talk about a couple things coming up that you can be a part of. That'll be at the end of the service. And then there's some coffee, and I think there's some food, and we would just encourage you to hang around for a little bit, meet somebody. We know meeting people's weird, but you're part of a family. And we would love for this to be your family. Amen.
Please stand, sit, crisscross applesauce, whatever the Lord is calling you into in this worship time, we invite you to do.
We're creation, suddenly articulate. With a thousand tongues to lift one cry. Then from north to south and east to west, we hear Christ be magnified. With the whole echoing is evident. His name would burst from sea and sky, from rivers to the mountaintops. We hear Christ be magnified. And oh, Christ be magnified. Let His praise arise. Christ be in me. Oh, Christ be magnified, the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me. When every creature finds its inmost melody, every human part its native cry, then in one enraptured hymn of praise, we'll see Christ be magnified. And oh, Christ be magnified, let His praise arise. Christ be magnified.
stand strong and worship you. If it puts me in the fire, rejoice cause you're there too. I won't be formed by feelings, I hold fast to what is true. If the cross brings transformation, I'll be crucified with you. Step is just a doorway to resurrection life. If I join you in your sufferings, then I'll join you when you rise. But you return in glory, for the angels and the saints. My heart will still be singing, my song will be the same.
Thankful that you guys have been here today. In just a minute, I'm going to invite you guys to keep sticking around, get to know your brothers and sisters, meet someone new, say hi to somebody old, give a hug. But before we do that, I wanted to direct your attention to one more event that we have, and it's a great way that we can keep worshiping the Lord through the week. So we have a school supply drive that we are participating in with Mary Lyon just down the street. This is a great opportunity for you guys to do some outreach and to bless our school that we're a part of and our community. And we want to make it really easy for you to do that. And so take this home, put it on your fridge, grab some school supplies if you'd like. If you don't have time to shop, we'll do it for you. We'll take your resources, and I think Barb actually is going to be our personal shopper for all the school supplies and maybe fill in some holes that we don't have. There is a really cute kiddie pool right out there that we're going to have around for the next couple weeks, and that is where you can put your school supplies in. But also, if you want a list just delivered to you, if you still have your connection card, write down school supplies. We will text you or email you a list so that it's super easy for you if you want to do your own shopping and pick out your own stuff. So we, again, just want to partner with you in making it really easy for you to worship the Lord through your own generosity in whatever form that looks. If you have questions about this, you can go see Elizabeth and Kelly. They're right over there. And there's a little table out there with the school supply list, with the kiddie pool there. You can also give in the giving envelope and write school supplies down on the envelope. We want to just help make this super easy for you. So do that, because this will creep up fast, and we want to help you out with that. Other than that, we would love for you guys just to stick around, get to know each other, and then we want you to have a great week. We're praying for you.